Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
You are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, and I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You can call me 573-4BREAD-4. You can text me 573-4BREAD-4. You can email me DM live at breadboxmedia.com anytime, day or night. You can email because I'll get them. You are not, your information is not sold. It's not kept. We don't try to sell you anything, so you can feel pretty free in just giving us your questions and your comments. And as many people have done, some of them don't care at all if we use their name and will say that in their email. Others will say, you know, please use a different name. They'll even give me a name to use sometimes, or just be anonymous. So it's all about you being the light in someone else's life. That's what it's all about. And us being a light in your life. Sometimes we just have too much on our plates. We have too much to be able to sort out, and we're under the misguided notion that we're supposed to sort it out. Oftentimes I will say things like, well, we have to put it out on the table, and it's like a big old backpack. Yes, we do have to look at all the details, because it can get to be such a big conglomerated mess inside of our own heads and hearts that we just feel depressed, or we feel overwhelmed, we feel anxious, we feel lack of focus, we feel, quote, crazy, unquote. We feel like we are less than. We feel like we're failures at what we're doing. We're not good moms. We're not good teachers. We're not good Catholics. We're not good whatever. We're not good. So the whole point that we need to get down to is that we have to put some of that on the shelf. And if you are doing things that are not good, literally not good, sinful, bad things, such as, committing crimes. And we'll talk about crimes later, but committing crimes, just actual crimes, you know, you're every day you're robbing a 7-Eleven or something. That's not what we're talking about. If you're harming your children, if you're going down to your basements and you're logging onto porn and your marriage is falling apart and you're denying that's even a problem to yourself, because, hey, nobody knows. That is where we need to look at some of the details. We always need to look at the details, but you need someone else to help you. You need someone else to help you sort it out. Oftentimes, Catholics can be viewed or be so, apparently judgmental. And many, 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 many Catholics, I would say, I don't know, I can't say the majority, I don't know. However, most people I know, they have representative of every swath, every race, every feeling, every happiness, every success, every failure, the highest of the highest, the most poverty-stricken of the poverty-stricken, that don't have those judgmental, bigger than life personas that somehow we think that there's this huge, giant judge. Now, I don't want to get off too far in a dissertation on Catholicism, because I'm going to talk today about an amazing thing that Pope Francis did, which was a mass where it was a mass to dry the tears. It was done on I think, May 4th or 5th. He did this specifically. It was a vigil to dry the tears of those who are weeping on a Thursday. I mean, you know, come on. This is beautiful. Pope Francis led a vigil to dry the tears that are those who are weeping. And I want to reference an article from Crux, C-R-U-X, that was written by Inez San Martin, who is a Vatican correspondent. And it was posted on May 5th, 2016 from Rome. So if y'all want to look it up, you can. I will ask Lennon to post a link to it. But this is, Pope Francis has big fish to fry, so to speak. He does. You know, sometimes we're so hung up on this little minutia that we're not looking at the bigger fish. And the bigger fish, meaning you and me, we're the bigger fish. We are the broken. We are the little lost lambs. We are the ones that we need a big supernatural, benevolent, merciful, all-powerful, all-creating, a creator to pick us up and sling us over his shoulders and carry us. Not to the conformed flock, not to conformity, not to the party line, which we're all going to have our own views. I mean, really, we're just people. We're not God. We're not God himself. So are we going to be frail? Yes. Are we going to mess up? Yes. Are we going to say wrong words? Yes. Are we going to become tongue-tied? Yes. Are we going to be victims ourselves? Yes. Are we going to be perfect? No. No, 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 no. So let's not get hung up. Let's know that we have to open up. We are ajar. I saw a beautiful depiction of Mary that I've never seen before in my life. I have no idea. I know where I saw it, so I'll see if I can. I don't think I can find the reference because it was on a YouTube. And it was a picture of Mary holding a jar with the lid open and the other lid in her hand, I think. And it was beautiful. Because that's the release of our spirit. Well, that's how I saw the picture. Or the release of God's spirit. Because it's something ethereal. It's something bigger than us. It's something more powerful than us. It's something more beautiful than we could ever imagine. And we get glimpses of it in the ever-changing skyline. In the ever-changing grass. In the ever-changing wool of a sheep. In the ever-changing look of a dog. In the ever-changing wings of a hummingbird. This is where we get our glimpse, because none of those ever is stagnant, ever, ever. Today, you will look out your window and that painting for you to enjoy is changed. The clouds above are different. And when you look away for 1 second to call your child to you and you look back out the window to see that rainbow, it could be gone. Because it's ever-changing. But it's an ever-changing, we talk about ever-changing landscape and nothing stays the same, and that always makes us lament. The places of our childhood never stay the same. And for some of us, thank goodness they don't stay the same. The places that we used to visit, the place we had our honeymoon, nothing's the same. Buildings get dirty, buildings fall down, buildings get infested, buildings get set on fire, buildings crumble. We want to know what we are, so we love looking at our anthropology and our landscape. But manipulating it into what when we have such incredible beauty around us? And that's not what I'm going to talk about today, but that also reminds me of why Pope Francis, even though people get those little sticks and stones out there as far as what he's saying and how he's saying it and who he's saying it for, but, you know, he's out to preserve and not preserve. I doubt he wants a stagnant picture either. I'm guessing. I can't speak for Pope Francis, but just from everything I've read, he's the leader of the church. There are over a billion people, and I don't know how many people, but lots of people in the church, the Catholic Church. And there are countless other Christians, and even some people who are not Christians are keenly and openly aware of Pope Francis. They're keenly and openly aware of Christ. They don't slice him off. They don't just shut out Pope Francis and the Catholic Church. The church is an institution, and by that it has feet of clay. It just does. But the Catholicism is ever-growing, ever-changing, ever-loving, ever-evolving, but it also remains the same. It is a mystery. and men mess it up all the time, like they mess up every other building on the face of this earth. Show me something that's 100% preserved. 100%. That doesn't mean an incorrupted body. That doesn't mean we know it's dead. You know, it doesn't mean it just show me something that's exactly preserved. You won't be able to find it. There's nothing on this earth that's preserved the way it was. Nothing. Except the spirit. The spirit is always. It is, it was, it evermore shall be. Period. So your spirit is all three in one. It's all the same. It's exactly the same, and it's completely different. It's a mystery. So that should give you hope and heart. And I want to spend most of this program talking about or showcasing basically a lot of what Pope Francis said when he did the vigil of tears to dry the tears. There's a reason for that. And it will help you no matter what your tears are about. Remember that Psalm? Psalm 56. But when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. I trust in God. So why should I be afraid? You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one of them in your book. This I know, God is on my side. For you have received me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life giving light. So remember now, please, this is not that your adult tears, everything from the time you scraped your knee and had relief from a mom's kiss or didn't have a mother's kiss and cried more. It's all there. It's all there. And he rescues you when you open up to him. We will look at the rest of this on the other side of the break. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're with me on Dr. Michelle Live. Today we're going to look at, in this holy year of mercy, from Crux. There's a blog site called Crux, and Crux taking the Catholic pulse. So we get some information from the Vatican. So we're looking at an article, Pope Francis delivers another lesson in the theology of tears. Beautiful, the theology of tears. So I'm telling you this morning, not so much as a lesson in theology or Catholicism, but in our pains and sorrows, your pain and sorrow. The Psalm 56 that I read, the different verses kind of clumped together that actually someone gave me. I forgot to mention that yesterday. A beautiful woman in an eating disorder clinic that I worked in a while back, who's one of the patients, handed this to me. And I'm so glad that I somehow, in my extreme disorganization, that means I don't like get rid of things I think I'm not going to use again. I have everything. I have it. I found it, and it was years ago, and it's so pertinent to me in this morning. And I hope, and I wish her all the best in the world in her recovery. Oh, and by the way, Eating disorders are tenacious. Some people can, quote, get over, unquote, or be, quote, cured from, unquote. However, this is something like many things people struggle with, because when they are triggered, usually there's some kind of trauma somewhere in this person's life, even if they don't recognize it as such. So something from what I'm getting off here for on a second, but I will tell you about tears from one girl who sadly did not survive, who remembers her first foray into eating disorder. But she used to hear her parents fight, and she used to go down into the basement, and she would, as a little tiny child, and as they fought, she would go down, lay on her back, and make her little mouth go like a fish and pretend she was underwater, like she was a little fish, so she wouldn't hear them. And as she grew older and older, the confusion in that household, and part of it was one of the family members was very ill, and part of the illness also brought on some mental illness. And so, you know, the cards were stacked. Who knows what would have happened without the illness? It is what it is. So at some point, as she reached puberty, she began to fear a lot. And part of it is that she was traumatically bonded. She didn't want to leave her parents ever. And at the same time, she didn't want to stay with her parents. Very conflicted person. But she got the flu. Now, we do know that there are some viruses. I'm going off on a tangent. We're going to get back to the Pope, I promise. But there are some viruses that create in a being, a person, all kinds of mental problems. Just think about it. If a virus can show up in blisters on your body, like in herpes, or warts on your body, like in HPV, or different things that can occur, or a virus can cause you not to feel your legs, all kinds of things happen. Viruses are nasty little creatures. If a virus or bacteria can create an entire earthquake of things inside a person, well, they also affect the brain. And we do know that there are some high fevers, some causes, some illnesses that can cause seizures disorder, which of course affects the brain and the personality. Also can affect hyperactivity, focus, ADHD, create a lot of things. Sometimes we can't pinpoint it back down. Of course, also malnutrition, just all kinds of things, but emotional things as well. So here's this girl. So the reason for saying that is, I don't know. How do you know? Was there a click over in her genetic, just the key just opened up so that during this very ill time that she had with a, quote, flu, unquote, don't know really what it was. It was years before I saw her. Did that actually unlock something that brought her into an eating disorder, or did the emotional stuff just dovetail with that moment? But she remembered being very sick, and she remembered at one point, as she got better, taking a bath, and she remembered looking at her hip bones and saying, you know, and her parents were fighting in the background, and she remembered thinking, I can control this. This is one thing I can control. And that started her long, long, long painful trek. So it is sometimes a coping mechanism, in a very dangerous coping mechanism, just like other dangerous things are people's coping mechanisms for trauma. It's just what they run to. It's something that they grabbed onto in such terror and pain, which will, of course, go into our conversation about Pope Francis and his vigil for those who cry, for tears. So this beautiful psalm was handed to me by somebody who had a feeding tube down her nose, because she had hope, and she continued to have hope. And once it gets a hold of you, this is why we try so hard. We don't try hard. We keep refreshing and renewing and trying to reset our buttons, especially on Breadbox Media, I hope, I do, to not judge. Because you have to be open to all kinds of things. We get frantic and frustrated when our own children are just going down the tubes before us, and we do not connect those dots. What parent would have connected those dots? What parent, as they're fighting, and they're fighting in their own illness, thinks, oh gosh, my daughter's probably in the basement pretending she's a fish and underwater so she doesn't hear this when she's two? But that was very clear to the two-year-old. So we have to understand that we are a big old world out here, and we have lots of frailties. We are very strong, and we are very malleable, and we are very plastic, and we will hurl through the world and through our life with all kinds of changing, just like I said in the beginning, where God changes that. Like right now, if I looked out the window, it would be a different sky than it was when I started this program. So just like that, it's still sky, it's still blue or gray or brilliant or dark. It's still many flavors of the same thing, but it's still sky. It still has the whole clouds and the whole ecosystem with it, and so do you. But you're ever changing, and yet your elements are going to remain the same. I hope that makes some sense to you. So now we're going to go into this concept of the theology of tears. I mean, really, that's pretty darn beautiful. So the theology of tears. I think I'll just read the article to you. It says, big boys, as is well known, do actually, this is from Rome, from Inez San Martin. Let's see. Big boys, as is well known, do actually cry, as do mothers, children, grandparents, and pretty much everyone else at one point or another, forming what Pope Francis on Thursday called, quote, an ocean of desolation, requiring mercy and compassion. Now, I'm going to stop here. Because it does not require mercy and compassion from those of you who don't swim in the ocean of desolation. Because if you say, I do not swim in the ocean of desolation, then you're fooling yourself. Now, you may have had a good life, and you may have come out not as bad as someone else. But if you don't think you are also swimming in that ocean of desolation, you need to rethink things. Think about it this way. The ship is sinking. Everyone's jumping overboard or getting whatever they can to float. You happen to have gotten a big tire or a lifeboat, and someone else is holding on to a little tiny floating stick. And there, someone else has their hands up, and they're starting to go down. It doesn't mean that you're any less of a potential victim of that huge ocean of ice desolation. It just means that you happen to have a little easier ride of it. And your job, as Mission Impossible used to say, should you choose to accept it, is to help in whatever way you can without going down yourself. But you don't sit there and go, oh, man, I'm so really, I don't get you guys, you know, you guys out there, you know, whose sharks are nibbling at your toes. I'm sitting up here. That's not me. I'm not you. And I know a lot of people that do that, a lot of Christian people that do that. They go from they might even help the poor, but they help the poor with an attitude of, I'm lucky and you're not. And that because I'm so lucky, I'm not supposed to be walk over you. But that puts a wall. With a snap of the fingers, you're there. A snap of the fingers, you are there. So I'll get this on the other side of the break, but there have been many a celebrity who have talked about coming from absolute nothing and were so afraid of going back there that they doubled up on many of the things they had because they understood at any moment they could be right back in poverty. Well, I'm Dr. Michelle. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host of Dr. Michelle Live. I'm Dr. Michelle. And you can email me dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. Where are your tears? Where are they hidden? Where's the trail? Where are the trail of tears in your life? We have in our country so many, we have an actual trail of tears. And if you look at it and you see what actually happened, it is a very sad, sad, painful moment in time and history. And I want to go to this article, One More Diversion. This is the way I view things, okay? This is the way I view them. There is no excusing pain, torture, abuse, anything. There's no excusing those things at the same time. Slavery. It's horrible, horrible. And I do what I can to speak out against it, and I do what I can to work against it. And I look at that, though, when people point their fingers at any, either institution and or country. And I guess it's one of those, he who is without sin casts the first stone. It's, you look at the history of the globe. This is why history is important, not sanitized history, not someone's agenda history, but if you can find, which is really difficult to do, but anthropology helps you too, because they look at things, they're not interested in politics. Unless they're interested in the anthropology of politics, but they aren't, it's more like, okay, well, who were these people? You know, what was their culture? Depends on medical anthropology or cultural anthropology or just what size their heads were. There's all different branches of anthropology and archaeology. So I look at it and say, there is not a place on this globe that I know of except for a few tiny, and then I really don't know because I saw them like on Nova 20 years ago, tiny, tiny, tiny tribal peoples who don't have a word for kill or don't have a word for hate. And they're just gatherers. They don't really hunt animals exactly. They gather. I don't even remember who they are now, what their names were, or they're probably not quite the same because they were filmed. So somebody found them and someone filmed them, and I'm sure their lives were changed at that moment. But here we are. And knowing that if you just imagine the world as one great big round ball, and at various, and just take anything, whether it's goodness and love, or whether it's slavery and death, or whether it's political takeover, or whether it's God or no God, and just imagine in your mind different colored lights. And then you have those buttons like you do in those little museums oftentimes, or especially science museums, where you press a green one and you get a narrative. You press the red one and it shows you, you know, a timeline. You press the blue one and it shows you, it lights up where they lived and where they didn't live, whether it's dinosaurs or people. So just imagine that, and then give yourself imaginary buttons and say to yourself, all right, slavery, boom. And the timeline of from the time the world began. I don't think you're going to find too many areas of the globe where you're not going to see a light at some point in time that we know of. And every subset of people is going to have had the ancient Greeks, the Turks, just name it, some form of slavery or indenturedness. Anyway, so all that to say is we share tears. We share tears, and you share tears, and you are right down in the ocean of desolation. What a beautiful thing. So let me get off of my opinion and get to Pope Francis, or get to this article about Pope Francis. So the Vatican correspondent on May 5th talked about recent, May 5th, 2016, So I'll start over. Big boys, as is well known, do actually cry. As do mothers, children, grandparents, and pretty much everyone else at one point or another. Forming what Pope Francis on Thursday called an ocean of desolation, requiring mercy and compassion so that we are the body that forms the ocean of desolation. I want to drive that home. For this reason, Pope Francis led a vigil on Thursday to, quote, dry the tears, unquote, of those who are weeping. I will guarantee you are going to find yourself in the Pope's list of who he means. You will find yourself here. And if you are an adult and he talks about children, you will find yourself there in one way or another. So here we go. So you are in need of mercy, and you are in need to give mercy. Among the groups the pontiff mentioned as in need of special consolation, he mentioned many, but here are the ones they showcased: Christian victims of persecution, people in imminent danger of death, those who suffer torture, slavery, or are subjected to medical experiments. I need to take each one of these because this is heavy. Children who are not loved, and those who are victims of abuse and violated in their human dignity. Now on to number 3. Victims of war, terrorism, and violence. Number 4. The sick. The imprisoned. The depressed. And the anxious. And number 5. Families who have lost a child, even before birth, and families forced to separate due to human injustice. Now, I want to take all these things because when I look at Christians victims of persecution, people in imminent danger of death, those who suffer torture, slavery, or subject to medical experiments. Are your children subject to medical experiments? We have an idea of this crazed, you know, Frankensteinian type guy with huge goggles and wild hair, you know, in this weird laboratory somewhere on some mountainside that only has lightning around it. Are your children subject? Are you subject to medical experiments? What's pumped into your bodies? Now, I am not against medicine. I'm going on record. I am not against medications. I've seen them work miracles. But really, when I see, I'm just sick inside, when I see children who are what I consider prematurely diagnosed with what? Disease with a behavioral problem and are put on very strong psychotropic medications that change the brain structure, that change the physiology of the body. Is that an experiment? I'm asking the question. I'm not saying it is, but we have to get out of our minds of what we see in Hollywood when we hear the words medical experiment or a Christian victim of persecution. Could that be you just because you happen to be Catholic? I will tell you a story before our break. I didn't consider this persecution. I love this guy. But I went to a volunteer meeting and there was a guy at the door who is amazing man. Oh man, he is amazing. He is a faithful, loving, he's like he said, he should have been dead 100 times over, and he really should have if you know his history. And so he's kind and open. And I walked in and, you know, I said, hey, you know, and he said, hey. And I said, yeah, I'm late because it's, I said, I'm Catholic, and I went to the vigil. The Catholic vigil was on a Saturday. And he goes, oh, you're Catholic. And I said, yeah. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. And that, I'm not ruffled with that. I understood that. That's no big deal. But in one respect, that's that's a Catholic persecution. It is not anything. I don't want anyone to get up in arms about it. But what I'm saying is it's a misunderstanding that can lead to persecution. It can change things. And I said, wow, wait a minute. You can't do that about my faith. He kind of smiled. He goes, I'm sorry. And so I said, look, you're awesome. And so, I hugged him and he hugged me. And but that was a line he didn't know it. It came out of his, because he was a Catholic. And he was a Catholic during his life where he should have been killed 100 times over. So he was brought up Catholic, and he was brought up in a household that was in disastrous disarray and danger. And so for him, yeah, I get it. But you see what I'm saying? The divisions can be tiny, but tiny cracks lead to big chasms. And so we need to bridge that, not by yelling at him or going, oh, this isn't right, or, rah, rah. It's like, wait a minute, come on, I'm not downing you, don't down me. And just kind of laughing about it. With him, I can do that. You can't do that with people that are full of hate. He's not full of hate. So I guess what I want to say is that see yourself in these things. See yourself in the way that if you have a cross, all of a sudden you are... you are looked at different than if you had some kind of mandala. So, and people in imminent danger of death, it can be anyone. It doesn't have to be somebody with a gun. Although, yeah, those. Torture. United States of America, mental torture. United States of America, spiritual torture. United States of America, heart torture. Love torture. Marital torture. Slavery. To all kinds of addictions and excesses. Now, that may not be what he's talking about, and I do not want to take away the absolute urgency for people who are being rounded up and killed. Absolutely not. That's like, wow, no, we're going to need to get to those first. But I just want you to see yourself in all these things as well, and also to others, because we really are in this ocean together. We'll see you on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Text or email, text or call that number, and you can email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. Come around and take a look. Get the app. It will change your life. You can get the archives, all these different subjects that really just are pertinent every single day because we're always dealing with them. And we also have something for everybody. I mean, down from like how to deal with your money to how to cook. We have the Catholic foodie. And there's all kinds of stuff in between. Just very unique presentation. We're pretty cool. So take a look at Breadbox Media. All right. So now I'm going to get, again, back to this. I'll never finish if I don't stop editorializing. But I want to bring this back. Why do I read this? Why did I go on and start talking about the Pope when I'm talking to you about mental health most of the time? Or that's where I'm coming from, because this all has to do with mental health. Where do we reach out? Where do we put our trust? Some of the hardest thing to deal with, man, when you're a patient of any kind, physical or mental, especially mental, frightening. And if you've ever been that person who's been in a locked ward, because we have to put people in locked wards, because if we don't, they end up dead. They end up killing themselves or killing someone else sometimes, or they are so, let's say, hallucinating, they're so unable to be in reality that they will be harmed or victimized. And they are, very seriously. So oftentimes we have to do that. It's just what has to happen. It's the only thing we have. So how frightening is that for some people? And some people, once they're there, they do realize they feel safe. But the point is that we have to put our, we have to get all of our resources, and the spiritual is just ethereally connected with the mental. And sometimes we look out, and we all do. I do. You do. Reach out. And sometimes when things happen to us, like families who have lost a child, as Pope Francis said, that could be, and he says, even before birth, there are people who don't get over these wounds. They hurt so badly. Or you lose a child. They leave you. They deny you. They go away. They do not come back. Or they get stolen. I mean, who the heck knows? The pain is real. And the pain causes us torment. And that changes our brain chemistry and our body chemistry. So that's why I'm doing what I do. Let's go back to the Pope. Okay. So we went through the list. Christian victims of persecution, people in imminent danger of death, and those who suffer torture, slavery, or are subjected to medical experiments. Children who are not loved, and those who are victims of abuse and violated in their human dignity. Are you violated in your human dignity? Have you been? Have you been asked to do things that violate your human dignity by somebody that you loved or should love you? Victims of war, terrorism, or violence. The sick, the imprisoned, the depressed, and the anxious. Families who have lost a child even before death, and families forced to separate due to human injustice. Pope Francis and the thousands gathered in St. Peter's Basilica on Thursday had tears and prayers for them all. And I want to say for all of us. The bitter, quote, the bitterest of tears are those caused by human evil. The tears of those who have seen a loved one violently torn from them. The tears of grandparents, mothers, and fathers, children. Eyes that keep staring at the sunset and find it hard to see the dawn of a new day, Francis said. I mean, come on, that's beautiful. The pontiff became emotional himself while listening to the stories of a family whose son committed suicide, as well as a Pakistani political refugee persecuted for his Christian faith. Quote, we need the mercy, the consolation that comes from the Lord, unquote, Francis said. Quote, all of us need it. This is our poverty, but also our grandeur to plead for the consolation of God, who is in his tenderness, comes to wipe the tears from our eyes. Unquote. There were few dry eyes on Thursday after the quote, universal prayer, unquote. Also known as the Prayer of the Faithful, in which the intentions listed above were presented, with St. Francis answering each one with a short invocation. In his address, which came before the prayer, the Pope said that during times of sadness or sickness, or when one is a victim of persecution, quote, everyone looks for a word of consolation, unquote. Oh, Dr. Michelle gets emotional too, thinking of all the people I've come across. All right, including myself and my family. All right. Quote, we experience what it means to be disoriented, confused, more heartsick than we ever thought possible, he said. Adding that in those moments, one looks for someone, quote, who really understands our pain, unquote. Quote, reason by itself is not capable of making sense of our deepest feelings, appreciating the grief we experience, and providing the answer we are looking for, unquote, Francis said. Quote, at times like these, more than ever, we need the reasons of the heart, which alone can help us understand the mystery which embraces our loneliness. However, Francis said, in our pain, we're not alone. Jesus, too, knows what it means to weep for the loss of a loved one. He then told the gospel story of the death of Jesus' friend Lazarus and the tears Where are we? Okay. And the tears shed by the deceased sister Maria. The evangelist John, in describing this scene, wanted to show how Jesus shared in the sadness and grief of his friends, Francis said. The passage about Jesus' tears, he added, have unsettled theologians, but they've also, quote, bathed so many souls and been a balm for so much hurt, unquote. To the Pope, the fact that God himself cried shows that everyone can weep too. The tears of Jesus serves as an antidote to my indifference before the suffering of others, Francis said. He said that they also stand as a testimony, going to make me cry, of the comfort prayer brings in moments of confusion, dismay, and tears. Beautiful. I think I like Pope Francis. The Argentine pontiff has spoken of the power of crying so much that some observers even speak of Francis's, quote, theology of tears. In 2013, at the Mass of the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, the Pope challenged Catholics to come face to face with human misery as a way to fully appreciate Jesus's crucifixion. The mystery of the cross, he said at the time, can only be understood by kneeling in prayer, but also through tears. Earlier that same year, as he was visiting the Italian island of Lampedusa, he urged the world to cry for the thousands of migrants who die trying to reach Europe by sea. Who has wept for the deaths of these brothers and sisters? Francis asked during a homily at Mass there. Who has wept for the people who were on the boat, for the young mothers carrying their babies, for these men who wanted something to support their families? The globalization of indifference, he said, quote, has taken from us the ability to weep. Oh, man, this is way heavy. This April, on the way back to Rome after a five-hour visit to the Greek island of Lesbos, where he met thousands of refugees, he told reporters traveling with him that the situations he had encountered, quote, make you weep, unquote. On that trip, he greeted over 200 children, many of whom gave him drawings, which he took to Rome, telling one child he wanted to keep the image on his desk. The pictures portrayed people drowning at sea, after their ships wrecked, and many other traumatic experiences the children had shown. Showing one with a crying son, Francis said, quote, I'm going to cry again. Dr. Michelle's going to cry again. If the son is able to cry, we, and that's S-U-N, we should be able to shed at least one tear. Quote, a tear would do us good, unquote, he insisted. Although pictures usually show him smiling, giving the faithful in St. Peter's Square a thumbs up or a solemn look when celebrating Mass, Francis has shed tears in public too. In 2014, for instance, the pontiff cried after a priest shared a story of the years he spent in prison at the hands of Albania's communist regime. Oh, we're almost out of time. I am just, I'm also drawn to tell you quickly when they talk about these drawings in 1985, I was like a student teacher for children, English as a second language or something like that, which I could always speak English myself. And I had to help this English, it was education opportunities, and I had to help people with their English essays. And one of them was what we did on our birthday, you know, most memorable birthday. And it was a very small college student, small, physically tiny, quiet girl from Vietnam who was recalling the many birthdays running from burning village to burning village. And one of the most memorable when she was out to sea and her trying to get to the United States and her ship was taken over by pirates and her brother put her under a bunch of tarps and a box and sat on her while the ship was overtaken. And this is a girl that's talking about my most memorable birthday in the United States of America at one of our college. But thank God she got here. And thank God for her brother. And bless them all. And bless us all. And bless you all. And we will see you tomorrow. I am Dr. Michelle. See you tomorrow.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.